not only still exists, but also foretells this exact day? Kanpar snorted.
You are saying nothing new. So my religion is real while others were lies. What does that explain?
That you should listen, perhaps, to members of your faith who bring you tidings. Sazed began to flip through his book. At the very least, I would think that you'd be interested in this book, as it contains the collected information about the Hero of Ages that I was able to discover. Since I knew little of the true Terrace religion, I had to get my information from second-hand accounts, from tales and stories, and from texts written during the intermediate time. Unfortunately, Sazed continued, much of this text was changed by Ruin when he was trying to persuade the hero to visit the Well of Ascension and set him free. Therefore, it is quite well corrupted and tainted by his touch.
And why would I be interested? Kanpar asked. You just told me that your information is corrupt and useless.
Useless? Sazed asked.
No, not useless at all.
Corrupt, yes. Changed by Ruin. My friend, I have a tome here filled with Ruin's lies. You have a mind filled with the original truths. Apart, we know very little. However, if we were to compare, discovering precisely which items Ruin changed, would it not tell us exactly what his plan is? At the very least, it would tell us what he didn't want us to focus on, I think. The room fell silent.
Well, Kanpar finally said, That will be enough, Kanpar, a voice said.
Sazed paused, cocking his head. The voice hadn't come from any of those beside the pedestals. Sazed glanced around the room, trying to discover who had spoken.
You may leave, seconds, another voice said.
One of the seconds gasped.
Leave? Leave you with this one, an outsider? A descendant,
one of the voices said.
A world bringer. We will hear him.
Leave us, said another voice.
Sazed raised an eyebrow, sitting as the second generationers, looking rattled, left their lecterns and quietly made their way from the room. A pair of guards pushed the doors shut, blocking the view of those Khandra who had been watching outside. Sazed was left alone in the room with the phantoms who had spoken. Sazed heard a scraping sound. It echoed through the steel-lined chamber, and then a door opened at the back of the room. From this came what he assumed was the first generation. They looked old. Their Khandra flesh literally hung from their bodies, drooping, like translucent tree moss dripping from bone branches. They were stooped, seeming older than the other Khandra he had seen, and they didn't walk so much as shuffle. They wore simple robes with no sleeves, but the garments still looked odd on the creatures. In addition, beneath their translucent skin, he could see that they had white, normal skeletons.
Human bones? Sazed
asked, as the elderly creatures made their way forward, walking with canes.
Our own bones,
one of them said, speaking with a tired, near whisper of a voice.
We hadn't the skill or knowledge to form true bodies when this all began. And so took our original bones again, when the Lord Ruler gave them to us.
The first generation appeared to have only 10 members. They arranged themselves on the benches, and out of respect, Sazed moved his table so that he was seated before them, like a presenter before an audience.
Now, he said, raising his metal scratching pen, let us begin. We have much work to do.
The question remains, where did the original prophecies about the Hero of Ages come from? I now know that Ruin changed them,
but did not fabricate them? Who first taught that a hero would come, one who would be an emperor of all mankind, yet would be rejected by his own people? Who first stated he would carry the future of the world on his arms, or that he would repair that which had been sundered? And who decided to use the neutral pronoun, so that we wouldn't know if the hero was a woman or a man?
69. Marsh knelt in a pile of ash, hating himself and the world. The ash fell without cease, drifting onto his back, covering him, and yet he did not move. He had been cast aside, told to sit and wait, like a tool forgotten in the yard, slowly being covered in snow.
I was there, he thought, with Vin. Yet I couldn't speak to her, couldn't tell her anything.
Worse, he hadn't wanted to. During his entire conversation with her, his body and mind had belonged to ruin completely. Marsh had been helpless to resist, hadn't been able to do anything that might have let Vin kill him. Except for a moment near the end when she'd almost taken control of him, a moment when he'd seen something inside of his master, his god, his self, that gave him hope. For in that moment, Ruin had feared her. And then Ruin had forced Marsh to run, leaving behind his army of Kolos, the army that Marsh had been ordered to let Elend Venture steal, then bring to Phadrix, the army that Ruin had eventually stolen back. And now Marsh waited in the ash. What is the point, he thought? His master wanted something, needed something, and he feared Vin. Those two things gave Marsh hope, but what could he do? Even in Ruin's moment of weakness, Marsh had been unable to take control. Marsh's plan, to wait, keeping the rebellious sliver of himself secret until the right moment, then pull out the spike in his back and kill himself, seemed increasingly foolish. How could he hope to break free even for that long?
Stand.
The command came wordlessly, but Marsh reacted instantly, and Ruin was back, controlling his body. With effort, Marsh retained some small control of his mind, though only because Ruin seemed distracted. Marsh started dropping coins, pushing off them, using and